You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
International week, folks. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin, ready to get stuck into the internationals involving the home nations this weekend. And it all starts actually tonight, Thursday night, with a couple of games, and we've got three on Saturday. First of all, a warm welcome to Tom Kerwin, who joins us on the line. Tom?
Hello.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well. I've got my St. George's flags. I'm hanging them from the car. I'm getting this resurgence back, you know. It's time to support the boys. Get beyond Southgate. You know, let's get a bit of pride back. Come on.
Derek, looking at these markets for these matches, your jokes, no pressure on you, Derek, but your jokes better be good on this podcast.
God. No pressure then, eh? No, Northern Ireland are 1-50. That's how we're cancelling Premier League games for an international week where Northern Ireland are 1-50. It wouldn't be 1-50 to beat my pub team with me playing. I mean, what is it? What are we coming to? Just, I keep saying it, someone will listen eventually, ban international football. Everyone will be happier.
You know what, I agree with you, because we've been enjoying the Premier League throughout the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, and now it's all scuppered by the international break. But Derek, still markets to bet on here with William Hill, and we've got to be professional on this podcast, so we'll get stuck in. And we'll start on Thursday night tonight with Austria versus Wales. And Austria 13-10 to win the match. The draw 11-5 with Wales 12-5. The enhanced odds, plenty of enhanced odds offers here. Mark Janko to score and Austria to win was 14-5, now 4-1. And Gareth Bale to score and Wales to win was 7-2, enhanced to 5-1. Check out all the markets at sports.williamhill.com. Tom, Austria were quite quietly fancied, I think, for the Euros, or to do well in the Euros, but they failed to make it past the group stages. They didn't score against Hungary or Portugal, and then were beaten by Iceland. It's difficult to take a team seriously that get beaten by Iceland. Austria, I'm not sure what to make of them. I don't think they're that good, actually.
No, I don't think they're that good. I just think they had just one of those runs, didn't they? And I know you can look at a qualifying campaign and say, well, you can't say that when it's spread over a number of games, and you know, particularly the kind of teams that were in the group. But I think that's what it's been. I think they've got some headline players, and you know, obviously Alaba is their main man, but you know, he's a player who plays defensively for Bayern Munich, and all of a sudden he plays for his country, and they want to throw him on the wing, through the middle. They'd play him up front if they could. And I don't think Austria are up to a huge amount. I was very concerned with them when we were looking ahead of the Euros. I looked at their friendly results, and I don't normally pay too much attention to friendly results, but the run that they'd had in qualifying, I expected them to be sweeping teams, you know, aside in the run-up to the tournament. But they lost three out of the five home friendlies before the Euros. And, you know, apart from players like Dragovic, Arnautovic, Alaba, I don't think there's a huge amount there. And you know, they lost Christian Fuchs. He retired after the shambles of the European Championship. So I don't really have much to make with them, really. Their form's not great. As you say, getting beat by Iceland. Who on earth could get beaten by Iceland and then go on and bounce back? And Wales, we've got to look at them. You know, this is a team that won four matches in the Euros. They've beaten Moldova 4-0. And you might look at that. Some people might look at that and say, oh, well, yeah, so they should. But that Moldova side, they hadn't conceded more than two in the last 10 European qualifiers. So they're a team that have not been giving much away. So that was a big result. Ramsey's obviously at a big blow. But this is a Welsh side that I think they averaged 2 points away from home in each of their matches in the European qualifying campaign. So I'm looking at it and thinking both teams to score would be my play. Austria have scored in the last 14 qualifying games. Wales have kept just one clean sheet in the last eight. I think it's set up for both teams to find the back of the net. I'm not sure whether Wales will win. They're good enough to get a result, but I'm going to be playing both teams get on the score sheet here.
11-10 it is for both teams to score in the match. I suppose Wales draw no bet might be worth a look on the William Hill website as well. And Derek, Wales did do exceptionally well in Euro 2016, so we can kind of expect them to continue that form in the qualifying for the World Cup. Or I can anyway. I can see them doing quite well.
Well, yeah, but they were lucky there, weren't they? So says the Austrian manager, Koller. He's really got up Chris Coleman's hooter in the build-up to this. I mean, you know, I think you're right. I think Tom's right enough. That's really a bit much there because, okay, they're actually England, aren't they? They're the Teutonic version of England. They waltzed through the qualifying campaign and then were absolutely useless in the tournament proper and ended up getting beat by Iceland. The difference is they've got a decent manager and we're still looking for one. It's not Austria v Wales, this. This is Alaba v Bales. I mean, I'm not saying these are one-man teams, but they're one-man teams. You could argue that Wales are a two-man team with Aaron Ramsey, but he ain't there. And I think that's a big absence for them because I know Bale is the headline maker, and rightly so. He's an unbelievable player. But Ramsey quietly makes Wales tick, and I think they might find it hard without him. You know, the fact that Austria have won their last 10 qualifying matches, you know, they've won their last 10. That's unbelievable. I'd suggest they've got plenty in their locker. They're probably looking at each other as thinking, well, these are our main rivals for qualifying. And when you get a match like that, generally it's a sort of after you Claude affair. I don't think both sides will score this. I'm edging towards a 0-0 scoreline because, you know, one thing the Austrians have got is experience, and they'll know that. You stop Bale, you stop Wales. I don't think he's going to see too much of the ball, to be honest. I think this is going to be a low-scoring draw.
The 0-0 draw is 7-1 in the match. Austria 13-10. I think if you're looking at the goal scorers in the markets here, Sam Vokes could be worth a look. He's got 2 in his last 3 for the national team. He's 13-5 to score any time in the game as Sam Vokes. Let's move on. Let's have a look at the Republic. The Republic of Ireland taking on Georgia. 7:45 kickoff this evening. And the Republic of Ireland are 2-5. The draw is 7-2 with Georgia in the market at 9-1. Lots of enhanced odds offers on the William Hill website right now. A couple of the Irish ones. John Walters to score and the Republic to win was 13-8, now 2-1. And Shane Long to score and the Republic to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1 is in the market at 5-1. Georgia's win against Spain in the lead up to the Euros was one of the biggest shocks in international football.
It was.
In the last 12 months, they've conceded 5 in Romania, 3 in Slovakia and 3 in Estonia. And they started their World Cup qualifying campaign with a loss as well. So I can't explain that result against Spain, really, Derek.
No, the only thing I can think of that maybe Torres was playing for Spain and that therefore explains it. No, I know. I mean, it's mind-boggling that. You know, despite that, I can't have Georgia on my mind here. I mean, they're 137th in the world. If they were tennis players, they'd be English. They're just, you know, they're a side that's played. I'll tell you what, they played Ireland 7 times and lost all 7. Significantly, though, 5 of those victories were by a single goal only. And in fact, they played in the Euro qualifiers in the same group as the Republic of Irish. And both victories for Ireland, but only by a 2-1 and 1-0 margin. So it's going to be close. Ireland will win, but it's going to be close. So I'm just looking down as I'm talking to you, hence my stumbling. I'm trying to find a price for Ireland to win by only one goal, but at the moment I'm not having much luck.
Yeah, if you look at it, it's the handicap tie basically on the minus one goal market. So the Republic of Ireland minus one goal versus Georgia plus one goal, and if you go with the tie there at 12-5, so basically you're taking one off the Republic of Ireland. So
of
it's just over 2-1, 12-5, Derek, for the Republic of Ireland to win by a goal, basically.
Yeah, I'd like the look of that. I mean, and the thing is, Republic of Ireland, they get tidy results at this level against teams like this, but they never muller them, do they? It's always a sort of a 68th-minute goal by off John Walters' left knee, something that puts them in. So, yeah, I like the look of that. It's not going to be a cakewalk for the Republic, this.
You mentioned John Walters there. He's not seen much game time for Stoke so far this season, but he scored twice in a friendly against Oman in late August. And he's probably worth a look in the goal scoring markets at 7-5, assuming he starts in the game. They've beaten Georgia on all 7 occasions, the Republic of Ireland. They've met this nation, Tom. I don't suppose that's a major factor going into this match.
Not majorly. I mean, I do, you know, I've listened to the comments from Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane this week, and they're kind of trying to talk up Georgia, and understandably so, because the victories they had over them, as Derek says, they were very close. I mean, you're talking a 90th-minute McGeady winner in Georgia, in Tbilisi, and then, you know, there was 21 minutes left on the clock before Walters scored the only goal of the game when these two sides last met at the Aviva Stadium. So I think the thing for Ireland is I don't think they often like to be favourites. And I think there are certain cliches in football, and one of them is that, you know, the Irish love to be the underdogs. But actually, it's a bit like this myth about Arsenal not doing well against, as we've discussed on a punt this season, about Arsenal not doing well against the teams they should beat. They do well against the teams they should beat. And actually, Ireland, more often than not, get the job done. You've got to go back a long way for the last result I would call a shock involving Republic of Ireland, that they lost. You know, they beat Germany a year ago, and you're probably going back to sort of 2006 when they lost to Cyprus. So they tend to win, but they don't tend to win convincingly. And Georgia don't lose by big scorelines either. I mean, Georgia, you know, they beat Scotland at home in the Euro qualifiers. They head to Wales on Sunday as well, so it's a double header for Georgia, where they need to probably claim 4 points to have any chance of qualification. I think Ireland will win, but I'm with Derek that I don't think it's going to be a massive scoreline. I think you're looking at maybe 2-1. 3-1 is probably the most exotic I would get, so probably a two-goal margin. And then if I'm looking at goal scorers, Dave, there's not a lot that really inspires me for Ireland. I mean, you're looking at sort of Shane Long, 17 games without a goal for him. You know, he's lost his place in the Southampton team to Charlie Austin. I'd much prefer to look at the value of Robbie Brady at 5-2 and Jeff Hendrick at 23-10. His career revitalised a little bit at Burnley. You know, scored the other week against Watford. You know, he's a powerful midfield player who is dangerous on set pieces. And I think he's a real threat. So at 23-10 for Hendrick and Brady, with those free kicks at 5-2, I think they're much better bets than looking at the likes of Walters and Long.
That's the Republic of Ireland versus Georgia, which is tonight, 7:45 kickoff. The Republic are 2-5, the draw 7-2. Georgia 9-1. Let's talk about a new era now, the era of Gareth Southgate, starting on Saturday evening, 5 p.m. kickoff. England 1-50 to win this match against Malta, who are 33-1, and the draw is 18-1 enhanced odds. Dele Alli to score and England to win was 10-11 enhanced to 5-4, and Mikhail Mifsud to score and Malta to win was 100-1. It's now 200-1. I'd love to see that happen. I'd love to see him score and Malta win this game. That would be something special. But it's not very likely, Tom, because Malta were beaten 5-1 by Scotland in Malta in their first group game. So you can expect England to get a few here at Wembley, can't you?
You would expect it. I don't know whether they will. I was kind of looking back at England's... I mean, all of England's kind of home qualifiers blur into one sort of thing in my mind. I've kind of got Clive Tilsey talking over the top of sort of set pieces, a nervy period in a game where we're getting a bit concerned. Half-time... pundits kind of in the studio shaking their heads and going, well, we don't really know what's going to happen here. Everyone's kind of confident it's going to happen, but it's in what way? And that's the thing that worries me with England at the moment. Not that I worry that they're not going to get a result, but you know, you look at, if you just scroll down England's home results in all competitions, friendlies and qualifiers, there's just never anything that's that exciting. There's not many big scorelines. You've got to go back to 4-0 against Lithuania and 5-0 against San Marino. But, you know, there's a lot of 2-0s. You know, two goals is about right for England at the moment. It's kind of what they score. But, of course, you've got to take into account the opposition. This is a Malta side that lost 8 of the last 10 away qualifiers in the last few campaigns. But, again, some of their defeats. You know, that Scotland game, you know, that turned, I wouldn't say it turned on a red card, but the red card made the scoreline, you know, a lot more handsome for the Scots than it might, you know, than it maybe would have been. They don't score goals, 3 in their last 10 away games, but I'm looking at some of their recent away defeats, 2-0 at Norway, 1-0 in Italy, 2-0 in Croatia. They're not bad, you know, and I just got no faith in England scoring a boatload here, Dave. So I think if England win, I think you're looking at correct score here. I would probably take 3-0, and even then I'm not massively convinced about that, but I think that's where you'll get some value with the correct scores, 2-0, 3-0. And Dele Alli as well. I mean, I know he's the enhanced odds offer as well, but he's flying. Theo Walcott's flying. Might want to look at him 2 or more. I suppose it depends on what team Gareth Southgate picks, but it's probably going to pick itself, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd think so. 13-5, Theo Walcott to score 2 or more in the game. Dele Alli, same price. And do look at that enhanced odds offer for Dele Alli to score and England to win. It was 10-11. It has been enhanced to 5-4. In the lead-up to this match, Derek, Gareth Southgate has given Wayne Rooney the vote of confidence, the dreaded vote of confidence, by saying he remains England's captain. He's going to start in this game, I think, Wayne Rooney, which... And you looked at that squad and it couldn't look more uninspiring, really.
No, well, we've been saying that for many, many years, haven't we, really? we thought maybe in the lead up to the Euros, it looked a little bit more of an exciting squad. A lot of the emphasis on youth, but it was still lumbered down by the lumbering presence of Rooney. You know, and if he does play, and it looks like he will because he's captain, he's got to do something. And he's got to get a couple of goals, two or three goals against Malta to justify his place because we'll all be on his back again. And to be fair, I mean, Scotland hammered Malta last time, so you've got to expect England to at least get a draw. I mean, it's not even a country, is it? It's a holiday island. I'm not saying it's not exactly an 1830 destination. In fact, 1830 is when most of its inhabitants were born. It's a younger version of Florida, Malta, I've always said. In fact, Donald Trump wants to run off with it. That's it's younger. I don't know what to think about this. It's just, if England had a proper manager, a settled squad, and we were in the days of Gerrard and that, I'd be looking at like 6-7-0, something like that. You know, an England v San Marino kind of caper. But you don't know. It could be any score, this, but any score bar the one I back. It's just I haven't got a clue. I don't know what to think. Will the players respond to Southgate, a man they think might only be a stopgap manager? Are the players interested? Answer, no. But it's Malta, and they're useless.
Yep.
So what I'm going to have to go for here is England to defy the handicap. So I'm going to go for England.
You're filling now again, aren't you, Derek? Because we've not got the betting on the website.
I'm just looking now. Then what's going on? I was going for England -3, whatever score that might be. I'm thinking of the 1-50, which might even struggle. Well, we'd struggle still to get odds against, wouldn't it? -3.
Yeah, I think -4 might be the first odds against in this match.
Well, I'll go for that then because I think Malta are absolutely atrocious. Did you say Michael Mitchell? Is that the guy that used to play in England? The one they called the Mosquito? Is that him?
I've no idea.
The Maltese Falcon.
Yeah. I think I called him Mikhail as well.
Yeah, you did. And I was waiting to come back in and just pick you up on that.
It's your Maltese accent.
I was letting that linger.
Your Maltese accent is letting you down. They called him the Mosquito when he played for Coventry, didn't he? Yeah. In fact, you know, I'm glad I brought that up because women always say, you know, women always say to me, like, you're too stealth, you're too small to be effective in the bedroom. I always say, well, what about the Mosquito then? Didn't shut them up. Don't edit that one out as well. I'm going to have to go for England to defy the handicap. And yeah, you know that Dele Alli bet you mentioned, the enhanced odds.
Yep.
Why wouldn't that happen? He's going forward for fun. He's, you know, he's a finisher, and they're playing against mugs. So yeah, I like the look of that.
Yeah, it could be. You're right. Michael or Mikhail Mifsud, Coventry City, 2007 to 2009.
How old is he now then? He must be about 40.
He's got to be mid-30s. 35
years.
Yeah, he's older than that. He's obviously a Nigerian player. He's older than that.
He's cool. If you ever get a chance, look on his Wikipedia page and his profile photo.
How old does he look?
He looks a lot older than 35 years old, it must be said, Derek. So maybe you're right. Maybe he's altered his age. Where do we stand on next permanent England manager? Gareth Southgate is 6-5. Ralph Rangnick, 3-1. Arsene Wenger, 4-1. Steve Bruce, 7-1. Eddie Howe, 10-1. Roberto Mancini, 10-1. And 12-1 bar. Are we still with Wenger, Tom? We were talking about this on a previous podcast.
I am. Do you know why I think the FA will go for it? Because I just think it's an easy option. The timing seems to be right. It just seems to suit everybody. And he couldn't have been more flirtatious, could he, Wenger, last week when he was asked about it? You know, he basically almost said, yeah, all right, yeah, I'll do it. You know, I think with him and where he is right now, he can stay in London. It's part-time. At his time in life, he probably will enjoy that. He feels probably an adopted Englishman as well. I mean, I don't think it's particularly inspiring, but I do think that's the case. And I think the fact that the FA have basically said we're not even going to search for another manager until you know, sort of this next clunk of games have kind of gone before Christmas suggests to me they're just buying themselves time to get to the end of the season, and Southgate will just try and keep the seat warm. So I think it's you know, the stars are aligning in that sense. Unless Wenger, of course, wins the league, wins the Champions League and wins the FA Cup, that might throw a spanner in the works. But is it the right choice? Is it inspiring enough? I don't know. I think fundamentally the problem with England is not the manager, it's the players. You know, for all I gave Roy Hodgson a load of stick in the summer, and I couldn't believe he got away with the shambles of Brazil, and he got off so lightly after that, I couldn't believe it. But in the Euros, the Iceland game, that was nothing to do with the manager. I know he'd made mistakes in a tournament and he's culpable, but that is just absolutely atrocious what I witnessed there, and it's purely down to the players. And what we've got to try and do is get, I don't know, a little bit of passion. But I'm thinking of Dele Alli, for example. You know, and I do fancy him to play well. And probably, you know, he probably will score a couple of goals this weekend. But he's just been involved in a scintillating performance at home with his team. They've just beaten Manchester City. They're absolutely flying. And I know it's an honour playing for your country, but it must feel like a bit of a come down. When you've got I know it sounds ridiculous going to Wembley and pulling on your national team shirt, but after that, it just doesn't inspire, does it? And it doesn't inspire us. It's not going to inspire the players. I can't see it.
Just about to say that, Derek. It's what we said at the top of the podcast. Premier League football is more important than international football now.
Well, it has been for some time, and I've been saying it for some time, and I don't blame the players. Okay, yeah, they underperform to a massive degree, but that's because they're not interested, and I wouldn't be in their position either. I would not be interested in playing for England. The Premier League is where it's at. And then you're operating under managers like Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola, and then you go on and join up with England, and you've got Sam Allardyce telling you what to do. Or now Gareth Southgate, you know, your heart must sink. I guarantee you about more than half the England squad now are still doing jigs of celebration at Big Fat Sam's on his bike because, you know, that was a low point in the, well, an even lower point in the appointment of Hodgson in English history, in my view.
But if Gareth Southgate gets it permanently, Derek, aren't we going to be saying the same thing in 24 months' time or whatever?
Yeah, well, I don't think he will get it permanently. I mean, everything that Tom says about Wenger, I'd endorse. The only problem, of course, is that if Southgate... England, it's impossible for England to muck up the next fixtures.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The only dodge pod they've got is Spain, but it's only a friendly. And, you know, we've seen what Spain do in friendlies against Georgia in June. And, you know, Spain are not the Spain of old anymore. They are beatable. So Southgate could probably sail through the next four games with four victories, and it's going to be hard to dislodge them then, especially if England they're playing with a little bit of a verve, you know, a new verve that they haven't displayed. And if he's got any sense, Southgate, he'll tell them to do that because it's his only chance of getting the job. So, yeah, that is a danger. Wenger is the man I'd back now, without question, but there's that reservation of Southgate doing well and it would be hard to get rid then.
The Rooney thing's a big problem as well. I mean, you know, his manager's made the decision, you know, at club level. I don't think Southgate should be picking him, but I don't think that's his decision. I think that's a commercial decision. He's to have Wayne Rooney, England captain, leading goal scorer. Let him get a few more goals against these minnow nations. And that just undermines Gareth Southgate. Do you know, I think if you had a Jurgen Klopp or, you know, a manager of that kind of mantle in the position, there's no way they'd be accepting that. There's no way they'd look at Wayne Rooney and think he warrants a place in this England team. Albeit against these teams, he'll probably end up scoring goals. But, you know, based on us going forward, I don't think he's in the squad for the right decision, and that's where Southgate. The problem is Southgate's always going to be thought of as a yes man, you know, because he's been in the FA for quite a while now, and it just seemed like a natural thing, obviously, as a caretaker, to come in and take that position. So it's not like we're entering a bright new era. We're just going to plod along until somebody makes a decision at the end of the season.
Scotland versus Lithuania next. Scotland 4-9 to win the match. The draw 14-5, Lithuania 13-2. Again, 6 enhanced odds offers on the William Hill website right now and available on the William Hill app. Impressive start to the campaign for Scotland with a 5-1 win away at Malta, while Lithuania drew at home with Slovenia. Scotland short price to win this, Derek. A game you'd expect them to win, and I see Stephen Fletcher's one of the enhanced odds offers on the William Hill website. Him to score, Scotland to win, and both teams to score was 11-2, enhanced to 7-1. He scored in that win away at Malta. He's got 3 for Sheffield Wednesday this season, so he's an obvious pick for the goal scorer markets. He is 7-2 to score first in this match. Do you see this as an easy win for Scotland, Derek?
No, because Lithuania will go there and shut up shop, which is what they normally do. I mean, this fixture seems to have happened a million times. These qualifying campaigns, they just go on forever. And eventually we get rid of nations like Lithuania, whose chief export is the internet bride. It's just why are they there? The only reason Lithuania exists is to give 12 points to Estonia at the Eurovision Song Contest. Well, that's the only thing. When you look at Wikipedia, that's the only entry for them. They're just... But games like this bore me to tears, they really do. England, we are hardly given a test by Lithuania in 2 Euro 16 qualifiers. In fact, Jack Wilshere said the biggest test was trying to spell Lithuania. England beat them 4-0 and 3-0, which gives you some idea how bad they are. England, I mean. Scotland have met Lithuania 4 times in Scotland. They've won all 4. They've only conceded 1 goal. And, you know, they ain't going to concede this time around because Lithuania won't come out their own half. I'm going to go for Scotland 1-0 win.
Scotland to win to nil, by the way. Only slight odds on 19-20 Scotland to win the game to nil. Did you go for 2-0 there, Derek?
1-0.
1-0 Scotland 9-2 1-0 for Scotland. How do you see this, Tom?
I'm going to go 2-0. You know, obviously Scotland scored those goals against Malta, but it was that sending off. Lithuania have absolutely no chance of qualifying from this group. It wasn't actually a bad result for them to draw against Slovenia, but it's not the kind of result that gives them any sniff at all. And away from home, they're awful. They're winless away from home in the last 2 years. The last time they won, it was at San Marino, and that was only 2-0. They've only scored two in the last 11 away matches. They've conceded 22 goals. And actually, Scotland at home haven't been too bad. They've won 6 out of 9, 6 clean sheets in the last 11 home games. So I know they've not played brilliant opposition, you know, at Hampden, but you know, the fact of the matter is they're keeping shutouts, and they are a tougher side to beat. But I think Scotland win. But again, it's not going to be anything spectacular. I think 2-0 would probably be about right. And, you know, again, when I look down the goal scorer markets and the enhanced odds, the one top of the list is Snodgrass to score and a Scotland win at 2-1. Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, I'll always look for players, you know, from those set pieces, free kick situations. You know, Snodgrass has great ability on that front. And in these kind of matches, sometimes it ends up being something like that, you know, a free kick. I'd look at defenders as well in some of these matches, you know, because quite often these kind of minnow nations, they get caught out from their organisation at set-piece situations. It's amazing how many headed goals you'll see. Another thing that blurs into my mind from England qualifiers is like Gary Cahill, you know, getting a header on target and maybe sometimes scoring. It's that kind of thing. So I'd probably look at some of the Scotland defenders, but I do like the enhanced odds for a Snodgrass goal and a Scotland win at 2-1. But 2-0 would be my play.
Seems to always be the way as well, chaps. We've saved the best to last on this podcast again. Northern Ireland versus San Marino is the final game we're going to preview on the podcast, and Northern Ireland are 1-50 to win the match. The draw 18-1, San Marino 33-1. At the moment, we've only got the enhanced odds offers. More markets will pop up as the week progresses. The enhanced odds, Stephen Davis to score and Northern Ireland to win was 11-8, now 2-1. Stuart Dallas to score, Northern Ireland to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0 was 4-1, now 5-1. And Kyle Lafferty to score, Northern Ireland to win, both teams to score, was 5-1, now 6-1. I think I'd probably want, Tom, 10-1 on San Marino getting a goal in this game.
Well, you would.
And Stuart Dallas, part of the enhanced odds offer there. I can't remember the last time he scored, Stuart Dallas.
I'm just trying to think, and I watch him pretty much every single week as
well.
I think it was a long time ago. Yeah, he got a couple at the back end of last season, but He is coming into some kind of form for his club, for Leeds. So, look, Northern Ireland aren't a team that are going to do this with any swagger. The thing that Michael O'Neill is so good at, and what I was so impressed with in the qualification for the Euros, is kind of his management, his navigation through the campaign. He was brilliant in terms of his team selections, and sort of, it sounds dead simple, you know, and managers say you take each game as it comes. He didn't. He knew, he plotted every scenario. And when you speak to players or you've read interviews about what's going on at Northern Ireland the last few years, they talk about this absolute meticulous planning, because he knows his set of players are nowhere near up to it. You know, on paper, they shouldn't be there. I think he's got a pool. I think someone told me it was a pool of maybe like 39 professional players, you know, that are playing sort of in England that he's actually got to pick from. And He knows he has to try and go above and beyond in terms of that planning, that absolute knowledge of what result we need and how to get it. And they're an incredibly defensive unit. And what I'm getting at here is the fact that Northern Ireland go to Germany on Tuesday, okay? So this isn't a match where, you know, this is the last game of this little break, and, you know, they might put on a bit of a show for the fans. As soon as they get daylight, that's it. That Northern Ireland will not continue at a flurry, and they might actually give San Marino some sort of joy. But of course, San Marino, what have they won? One of 136 games. The 0-0 result of the Czech Republic last time out was exactly what we thought they'd go and do, and that's a decent result. He'll know 3-0 this weekend. Just get it done. He knows it's probably not going to come down to goal difference. They know they'll probably need to go to Germany, and if they can get a draw, then they're in the mix. But counter-attack, set pieces, again, that's where I'd be looking in this one. I'd be looking for those threats from set-piece situations. Obviously, Davis has been a key player for them, and, you know, he's kind of the guy that makes them tick in the middle. But, you know, some of the defenders, people like McCauley as well, who's popped up with goals during the qualifying campaign. But they just don't score many. 8 goals in 5 matches at home. They failed to score in 3 of those 4 at the Euros. They've not scored more than 4 goals in 12 home games. You've got to go back to 2008 against the Faroe Islands. So that puts it into some kind of context. I think we're looking at 3-0, job done, you know, and move on to Germany. I think that's how they'll manage it.
Derek?
you forget all what Sam says is right there, but he forgets one thing. This is San Marino's golden generation. You know, so they're no mugs. Ireland would get a tougher game against Jose Marino and San Marino. I mean, it's surrounded by Italy, San Marino, just as England usually are when they played them. And its national side has about 14 adults to choose from, 15 if the keeper can get someone to mind his goats. I mean, it's just, they've got no business playing at this level, this old Northern Ireland. I've just, you know, how many bets will this game attract? Very few, even fewer fans, I would guess. The odds suggest, of course, the Irish should wipe the floor with San Marino. And that's appropriate because there are actually four floor wipers in the San Marino squad. There's no enhanced odds. There's no full list of odds. So no, I don't know. I'm sort of betting in the blind here, but that's never stopped me in the past. I would go for Northern Ireland, probably 2-0. I'm not sure. Northern Ireland never get a bag full, whoever they're playing. So 2-0 for me to Northern Ireland.
Given what you've both said as well, once we get the full range of markets with the handicap markets, they might actually be worth looking at San Marino plus 4 or 5 goals in the game, because that could be odds against in the match, given those 90-minute prices on the website.
Oh, it will
right
do.
Now.
It will yeah. be, yeah. It will be. Actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I would be on that. Because, well, as Tom said, did you say the Faroe Islands was the 4-0 win over the Faroe Islands? Yeah, yeah. Which actually is not that bad a result, given how the Faroe Islands have been playing recently. But that was when they were crap. I would go for that, but you've got to see the prices first, obviously.
Chaps, thank you very much for participating in this podcast once again for International Week. And remember, if you're following us on Twitter, you can do, and check out @WillHillBet for all the latest football tweets via that medium as well. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Catch us on iTunes as well. Tom, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Dave. Just before I go, can I just do a plug? I've got 6,500 in Big Sam We Trust T-shirts. If anybody wants to take them off my hands, I got them printed up. I thought I'd at least get a year out of them. So I just need to use this opportunity to get in touch with me. If you want to buy them, I'll do your deal.
He sent Gareth Southgate a good look postcard. It's just arrived, apparently, as well. Big Sam Allardyce. So, thank you, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast. And we'll speak again next week ahead of the next set of Premier League fixtures.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.